There's a little nip in the air, and we're counting down to the end of 2022. Who thought the end of the year would get here so quickly? If you're like many of us, it just dawned on you that you have to make plans for the holidays, like yesterday. And if part of those plans involve holiday travel, you're probably wondering what it's going to cost. If it's too late to book your flights, rental cars, and hotels. Well, today's show is all about that and the tips that will get you the best holiday travel deals. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. Travel is back full force after the shutdowns during the pandemic. A recent survey showed that nearly half of respondents plan to travel over the holidays, and about half of those plan to fly. Good news for the travel industry, but bad news for travelers? Holiday flight prices are expected to be the highest in 5 years. Joining us to talk about holiday travel is Scott Keys, and Scott is the founder of Scott's Cheap Flights, and I love the title of your company.
Thank you so much.
Don't we all? Cheap is good. And tell me about this. I mean, here we are embarking on another holiday season, and it seems like people are getting with the program. What do you think?
Yeah, look, travel is basically fully rebounded, especially when we're talking about vacationers, leisure travelers, as high, if not higher, than we saw pre-pandemic. And that means not just full planes and long lines at the airport. In fact, airplanes are actually more full today than they were in 2019. And they've been more full throughout 2022. So don't expect much elbow room on your next flight. And that also means that if you're hoping to get a good deal, you need to book them as far in advance as you can.
But that you said book as far in advance as you can, but we're not too far in advance right now with the holidays. So there are deals out there, and how do you find them?
Yeah, look, when we start with the eat your vegetables portion, the best time to have booked your winter holiday flights would have been in June or July. There were cheap Christmas flights available in June, like LAX to Bahamas for $252 round trip, that just don't stay available as we get closer to the holidays and certainly aren't anything like with the fares we see today. But here's the good news. There's still a little bit of time left to at least get a better deal to avoid overpaying for your flights. And if you're hoping to travel over Thanksgiving and you haven't booked your flights yet, there's actually one route where you see exceptionally good value even today, and that is on flights to Europe. Folks don't think of travel over Thanksgiving as a cheap time to fly, but that's because most people are traveling domestically where airfares are especially inflated because it's a U.S. holiday. But Thanksgiving is not a holiday in Spain. It's not a holiday in Portugal or Italy. And so you see fares to Europe as cheap, if not cheaper, than flights to, let's say, Texas or Missouri. In fact, I checked right before coming on here, right now, to fly out of LAX to Lubbock, Texas, was about $576 round trip over Thanksgiving, but to fly to Madrid was just $464 round trip. I'd rather spend Thanksgiving in Madrid in Spain than Texas, and that's what's available right now for folks who have the week of Thanksgiving off.
But the reality is a lot of people want to be with their families, mm-hmm. and their families aren't in Portugal or Madrid or somewhere in Europe. They're here in the United States. And so with fuel prices, jet fuel in particular, and inflation and all of those sort of things that beat up on these prices, you know, is it the big hubs that are the most problematic for trying to get a decent deal?
You know, where the worst of these sort of airfares are today are really actually in the smaller, more regional airports. Think ones like Fresno, Reno, Tucson, even smaller airports like that than that, Yuma and others, because those airports are really bearing the brunt of the pilot shortage. You know, look, airlines are across the board down thousands of pilots from where they would like to be. The pipeline is full. The training flight centers and the schools are full, but it's not an entry level position. It takes years to train up those pilots, and so airlines always look when they say, look, we've got the number of pilots we have, where should we be making cuts? It doesn't tend to be on flights from LAX to New York. It tends to be on flights to smaller airports like to Yuma, El Paso, other smaller regional destinations. That's where you see the biggest cuts in service and the biggest jumps in fares. But across the board, fares are certainly higher than they would be if airlines had as many pilots as they would like to.
Well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's a thing out there that President Biden has been talking about, which some refer to as junk fees, and he'd like to see those go away. What are junk fees, and what would the implication be of removing junk fees from travel and resorts?
Certainly. Look, one of the big things that's happened in airfare over the past 10, 15 years has been going from a fully bundled model, an all-in model, where when you bought your ticket for a flight, it included everything from a check bag to a seat assignment and the rest, to nowadays where your ticket only gets you on the plane. It doesn't get you necessarily a seat assignment or a check bag or sometimes even a carry-on bag. And I think folks are, you know, understandably irate when they're asked to fork over an extra $100 or $200 just to be able to sit with, for instance, their young kids. And that's why I think the Biden administration and Secretary Buttigieg at the Department of Transportation are doing their best to try to get more transparency on these fees, to try to make it so that you know what the cost of those luggage fees or seat fees are up front, rather than having to get halfway through the booking process to figure out what it costs to pay for a bag or a seat. This is, you know, something that the Obama administration actually did in 2012 to make it so that airlines had to show you the all-in pricing, that they couldn't separate out, say, the fares from the taxes and mandatory fees. And what the Biden administration is trying to do now is kind of in that same vein, trying to make it more transparent for consumers so that they can make a real apples-to-apples comparison when they're trying to decide what flight to buy.
As a travel agent, do you support that?
Look, I think it would be a wonderful thing. I think it'd be great for consumers to know, you know, is that $79 flight on Frontier, is that actually a great deal, or is that a bait and switch? Because if it costs $79 for the ticket, but then I'm going to pay an additional $150 for a checked bag and a seat assignment, well, that takes it from a great deal to a pretty lousy deal. And I'd like to be able to compare that to, say, the Southwest fare that might cost $150 and seem like it's worse from the beginning, and yet actually be much better when you account for the extra fees. So I think more transparency is a great thing for consumers, and I'm hoping to see this enacted.
There are a number of things we want to talk about this half hour, including cruises, railroads, and everything travel. So you'll be hanging with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we'll have more with regard to our show on travel. We'll talk about everything that makes us have a good time. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. Scott Keyes with us again for this segment. And your website is scottscheapflights.com. It's known for digging up some pretty good deals. Let's just look at a few recent ones out of LAX. So this one here, LAX to Madrid, $379, normally $850. What's the next one, Scott?
We got LAX to Charleston for $62 round trip. This is on a full service airline, not on Spirit or Frontier. I believe that was on JetBlue. Regularly costs $350 or more. And we also found a deal recently from LAX to Tokyo, Japan just reopening for tourism, for $546 round trip, including during plum blossom season. Those flights normally go for $1,000 or more.
How do you find these deals?
So the funny thing about finding cheap flights is that it really comes down to elbow grease. It comes down to searching for cheap flights all day, every day, because airfare is one of the most volatile purchases that people make. We have no idea where the next cheap flight is going to pop up and how long it's going to last. But when they do pop up, like that $379 round trip flight to Spain or that $546 round trip flight to Japan, they only last in matter of a day or two, sometimes even a matter of hours. And so finding out about it before those cheap flights disappear is what you do in order to be able to get them before they're gone. And that's what Scott's Cheap Flights does to make sure that folks know about these deals so that if they're interested, they can book them before they disappear.
Okay, you know, many of us remember the flight disruptions that happened several times over the summer as peak demand intersected with weather problems and those flight crew shortages. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has said we're not out of the woods quite yet. Tell us what you're anticipating, Scott. Do you think there will be problems out there as demand continues to grow?
I mean, look, there's still going to be some number of flight delays and cancellations so long as there are still thunderstorms and snowstorms. But I think the public understands that. And what we really get riled up about is what are called blue sky cancellations, these flight disruptions that happen even when the weather's fine. And the good news, the bad news is that things got really bad in early summer. I mean, 3% of flights were getting canceled every day. More than one in four flights was getting delayed. The good news is that things have improved substantially since June. Now we're back to the sort of normal rates of delays and cancellations, and you're not seeing nearly as many controllable cancellations as we did early in the summer. I've got my fingers crossed that's going to continue into the holiday season, but it's certainly going to be a test for the airlines because that's when the system is stretched thinner than it is in October, and when those sort of rolling delays and cancellations can come to a fore if there's bad weather or if we're unlucky enough to have something like a computer meltdown at one of the airlines.
Have the airlines made much progress in hiring more personnel?
They have. And in fact, they actually have more personnel working for the airlines today than they did pre-pandemic. What you see, though, is a lot of those folks are still relatively junior, don't necessarily have quite the same amount of operational experience as folks did pre-pandemic. But really, the big bottleneck for airlines, again, comes down to pilots. There are some other areas where there are bottlenecks, airplane mechanics and whatnot. But it's pilots at the end of the day that are causing there to be fewer flights in the sky than you would see otherwise. 15% fewer flights operating today than were operating in November of 2019. And so it's those, you know, airlines are doing their best to try to have some number of reserve pilots to make sure that when cancellations start, they don't really have major ripple effects. But time will tell. We'll see come Thanksgiving and come Christmas how much progress they've made. They've certainly trimmed their schedules so that to a more manageable level now. I'd say their eyes are no longer bigger than their stomach. Hopefully that's enough to avoid the sort of meltdowns that we saw earlier this summer.
Yeah, we had some pretty awful baggage log jams this year, too. Anything that could be done about that? And what can people do, not just check their bags early, but what can people do?
Yeah, there's a few things you can do with regard to baggage. And there's actually a funny thing with bags is that the airlines that actually do the best on delivering your bag to where it's supposed to go are actually the budget airlines. And I don't think it's something that they're necessarily doing better than, you know, American or United or any of the like. I think what it is that direct flights, nonstop flights, have a much higher rate of delivering bags as they're supposed to than connecting flights. When you have a connection in Dallas, in Chicago, or wherever, it transferring your bag from your arriving flight to your new connecting flight, there's always a risk you're not going to make it on time, that it's going to get lost in the system. Whereas if it's a direct flight, as long as it gets on the plane in the first place, which most of the time it does, then it's going to show up at your destination. So the things you can do as a consumer, A, prioritize nonstop flights over connecting flights. B, you can certainly avoid checking a bag if possible. I've got young kids. It's no longer in the cards for me. But if you have the ability, avoid checking a bag. You're going to have a lot more flexibility and a lot less headache. But then C, a new tactic that a lot of folks are taking advantage of nowadays is to put a little GPS tracker in your checked bag.
So we're talking about like the Tile or the Apple Tag, that kind of thing?
Exactly. Those Apple Air Tags, throw them in there. You can see, did your bag make it on the plane? Is it arriving? You know, you get a flight to Miami. Is it in Miami or is it still stuck on the tarmac in L.A. And not have to wait around at baggage claim if your bag didn't actually make it?
All right, coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, Scott Keyes will be here to continue our conversation about travel and what to expect in 2023 and what we should be planning for on our next vacations. He's going to look into the future with us when we come right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. We're joined by Scott Keyes again of scottscheapflights.com. And yeah, I love that name. It's Hal's Cheap Sunday Show right here, folks. You know, we talk about what we're dealing with. We talk about the impact of the pandemic on travel. And some people still are not completely comfortable getting out there with other people on airplanes and other things. But as we look into the future a little bit, I want to talk about not just airplanes, not just travel to other countries or domestically. I want to talk about things like cruise ships. I was on a cruise ship earlier this year, and it was pretty packed. I think it might have been sold out. And it was a trip down to Cabo, and I enjoyed it. And I don't know of anybody that got sick on that trip, although I have heard of trips where people have gotten sick and COVID has followed them along on board. So without getting too deep into the pandemic issues, what do you see ahead as far as travel? First, let's start with cruises, airplanes, and rail.
Yeah, certainly. Look, you're seeing cruises really rebound in a way that a lot of folks didn't expect in 2020 and 2021. A lot of folks really kind of foretold the demise of the cruise industry, only to have 2022 come around and folks like stumbling over themselves to hand over money to the cruise lines for in order to get those tickets and be able to get back on the seas. You're seeing some cruises even now investing in the largest ships ever built. And I think that indicates a measure of optimism in the cruise industry that this is not going to be a diminished future, but that things are really renormalizing when it comes to travel.
But you know what's interesting about that, Scott? They didn't just build that overnight. They built that during the pandemic, which means they must have been anticipating that things would somehow get back to normal.
That's right. Look, and I think in a lot of ways for travel industry folks, it's happened on a quicker timetable than many folks expected. It certainly caught the airlines a little flat-footed because they didn't expect that travel was going to rebound as quickly as it did. They were anticipating a recovery more like 2024 or 2025, but even now in 2022, you're seeing the number of leisure travelers and vacationers actually exceeding the number that traveled in 2019. The reason why overall travel numbers are down about 5% is because business travel is still yet to fully come back. It's still down about 25%. And that's where I think the open question is for the airlines and a big part of the travel industry is to what extent will that last 25% of business travel ever come back? This is really important for airlines because business travel is big money. They make way more money off a given business traveler than a given vacation traveler. Because us vacationers, we care about what the price is. We're going to be more price sensitive. A business traveler, they'll pay whatever the fare costs because it's their company paying, not them.
Why not? Looking ahead to 2023, I've already booked a cruise for, I think it's May of 23. So, I mean, you know, it's a good idea to book in advance. You get a better deal. You kind of get your plans in place. But what about rail? We haven't really talked about that. Have we seen much of a disruption there? Are we seeing people moving back onto trains? I'm just curious.
Yeah, look, you're seeing demand slow come back a little bit slower with regard to rail. You're seeing, you know, some issues with the actual tracks themselves. You know, the Surfliner line has been out of commission, but you're also seeing some rebound. The train between Seattle and Vancouver, Canada, actually just reopened recently, and that's one that hadn't been open since the pandemic began. So I think there's some green shoots with regard to the rail industry, but nothing like what we've seen in the airline and cruise industry. Those are real kind of where most travelers are really itching to get back to.
Well, one of my favorite trips is from Calgary over to Vancouver, Victoria, on the Via Rail through the Rocky Mountains and seeing those snow caps as you're going through. And it's really pretty spectacular. So what do you think some of the best travel destinations might be for 2023, 2024, looking ahead?
Yeah, look, I'm so glad you asked, because booking for summer of 2023, a lot of folks aren't going to think about that until April or May, but that's when flights are actually going to be really expensive. Instead, if you think about booking your summer 2023 flights like you're buying swimsuits, when are swimsuits going to be on sale? in the winter time, now is the time to start thinking about booking those summer flights, because you really can get great deals now for next summer in a way you won't be able to just a few months before. So some of the destinations that I think are going to be especially popular going forward, you're seeing Portugal and Ireland as the real two standouts, both in popularity and in regard to cheap flights. You saw flights from LAX over to Ireland for $399 nonstop round trip recently. Similar fares over to Lisbon and Porto in Portugal. And those, I think, are reflective of a lot of those airlines really investing in trying to add back capacity as quickly as possible to take advantage of how excited folks are to be able to get back and take those iconic European trips. Japan is another one that, again, it's been closed since the pandemic began, but just last month in October, reopened again for the first time for tourism. And I think 2023 is when you're going to see a really big rebound in that trans-Pacific tourism to Japan. Domestically, Hawaii. Hawaii was has been one of the cheap flight success stories over the past 5 years, especially after Southwest began flying there, I believe it was in 2019, really driving down fares both from the mainland to Hawaii and within Hawaii itself, between the islands. You're seeing, again, flights from LAX and other LA area airports under $200 round trip in many cases over to Hawaii. Fares that would have been unthinkable even a decade ago are now popping up just about every month. So Hawaii is one that I've certainly got my eye on.
Yeah, I got my eye on that too. You know, you look at those pictures and it's like, let's go. All right,
especially Scott Keyes. We get into wintertime now.
Yeah, I hear it. Scott Keyes, thanks so much. Scott's Cheap Travel, good to see you. I appreciate your time, and keep looking for those good deals. Meanwhile, we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you haven't already, please check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.